Just a reminder, if you can turn off or silence your cell phones. And let's go to introductions, I guess. Start.
Sure, I'm Leslie Ernesty. I am replacing Holly St. Pierre as Marty's office assistant.
Okay. Welcome, Leslie.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here.
Hardy is Bertram Avia.
Eric Olivo, SJ Engineering.
Mike Ogren, Olson Engineering.
Jeff Erskine, Miles Erskine. Jamie Housley, Jordan Reyes.
Andrew Gunther, PLS Engineering.
Greg Schaefer, Development Engineering.
Diana Beth, Development Engineering.
I guess that's it. Great. Excellent. Quick reminder that the DEED meetings are recorded and posted on the website. So keep that in mind, I guess. And move on to review and adopt minutes.
Mr. Chair, I have reviewed the minutes and made the motion.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
So I need to abstain to have enough members to go with the hearing.
Oh.
I'm sure we have enough members to.
Yes, we have five,
so we are here.
All right, moving second. Any discussion beyond that? All right, let's go ahead. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Abstentions, Jeff. Upcoming events.
On the second page of your program there, typical of every week, every Wednesday, 10 a.m. is county manager's briefing, with the asterisk that that is on occasion canceled if there are no topics. So you may want to call in prior to coming over here. Also, every Tuesday is the Board of County Councilors hearing at 10 a.m. in the morning, with the exception of the first Tuesday of the month. That's at 6 p.m. in the evenings. BOCC hearing Shoreline Master Program, Tuesday, October the 13th, 10 a.m. BOCC hearing on the Comprehensive Plan Update, that's on Wednesday, October the 20th, 10 a.m. And then finally, with the Board of County Councilors, a special meeting on the Public Transportation Improvement, Tuesday, October 27th, 3 p.m. at the Downtown Vancouver Library. For the Planning Commission, a work session on the Clark County Stormwater Manual and Code Update, also school impact fees, Thursday, October 1st, so that would be this evening, 5:30 p.m., and then in 2 weeks, a hearing, Clark County Stormwater, again, looks like the same, so manual and code updates, also the school district's capital facilities plan update, on Thursday, October the 15th, 6:30.
The comprehensive plan update, so that's another hearing. This is different than the SEPA hearing that we had previously, right?
I do believe so. Yeah, and Oliver, I think, could clarify for us there. So,
Mr. Chair, I have a couple of questions about what's coming up. And I don't know if you or anybody else can answer them. But maybe we get staff to answer them for us. What is the board hearing on the shoreline management?
I was wondering the same thing. So
any specifics?
I think, Dave, I've seen the presentation from DES staff. I don't have that in front of me, so I can't talk specifics of, you know, what is being, what it is going to be, the new stormwater manual and course changes that they're proposing to comply with.
That's the shoreline master plan?
We had shorelines.
The shorelines.
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the. Something that I've also come to be in terms of wetland ratings that ecology just.
Eric, have you kept up on the stormwater stuff?
worth of.
We have. Did we already make a motion on that in the last meeting?
I think we did.
Remember what that motion was?
It's in our. Well, the last. I don't remember if we made
it. I think it was a previous meeting. Okay. So it might be worth forwarding that, and it's probably already in Planning Commission's packet.
Yeah.
Okay. For the
stormwater? Yeah.
Okay.
If we have one, I think we should try to put it in the packet tonight.
Okay. Yeah, my memory's a little shot on that. So,
I had one other announcement, and I don't know if this comes as a surprise to anyone, but I was at a meeting in City of Alabama yesterday talking to Brian James. Asked him what he had heard from the Department of Ecology with regards to the soil classification. And he pretty much echoed what Rod Swanson indicated last month's meeting with regards to the information, the additional information that was requested from the county, the county's consultant to Ecology, but that Ecology won't be making a decision on that until after the end of the year. So all the projects, both public and private, are in limbo that are in the Alabama area or are affected by the soil classifications.
What was that? So the classification.
The there's a different. There's two different ways to classify the soils.
Okay.
And they're trying to make it specific for Clark County area because the engineers in the room probably be able to speak to this a little bit better. But ultimately, what we're trying to do is we're trying to have a area specific soil classification, which allows for a greater amount, a tighter soil, a greater amount of runoff from forested condition, which will, in effect, allow more runoff from the area, which in turn reduces the size of the detention facility.
It's more accurate, really.
By like 5 times.
The default bottom is 2 soil types, and around here we have significantly more than that. It acts significantly different, so I think the new one is worth about 5 different types, and even that's probably not enough, but it's much better than 2, so.
And the county has been kind of spearheading that for this entire area. And when and if the Ecology agrees with it, only then would the City of Alabama go to revise their stormwater ordinance to adopt those new soil types.
It's already in the model. The Ecology already approved it once. So it's just, if they approved it once, the program has it in it. It's just they had to go back and look at it again after so many years to see how it's actually functioning. And they had to do this audit, basically. So the audit was turned into Ecology, and now it's in the report, and they have to review it now. So everything was done, I believe, on the county's part, and it's just awaiting processing by Ecology, is how I understand it.
So I just want to briefly confirm, was there a request by Deed to resend out? Was that comments on their comments on the stormwater manual?
Well, I think we had made a motion.
We had made a motion at one of the previous meetings.
In support. I think that's been forwarded already.
Okay.
We support the Planning Commission if they don't have it. So, because they're having their hearings, their work session tonight, and their hearing next week, I believe.
So is that just confirmation that whoever puts together the packets to make sure that our response or our motions?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it does. Who's the staff person for planning?
Would you know, Rosie, if that went to the Planning Commission yet?
Sonia.
Okay,
Sonia?
Sonia could get it.
Okay.
Okay, I can check with Sonia.
Okay. Thanks.
So Mike's kicked off the leave announcements. Anyone else? I had one thing with you, Jamie, too. Last month we talked about the biodiversity map at the beginning of the meeting. I haven't been involved with the project personally on that. I know you and Eric, I think, have. I assume that is still a current topic that we want to talk about.
Most certainly.
It's on the agenda for next month. Okay. I believe.
Yeah, I had a draft email that I put together, but I hadn't forwarded it to Kevin. I did run into Kevin at another meeting last week and mentioned it to him. So he's willing to meet. I will email him and and try to confirm his eligibility or availability.
Okay, so we should still hold the slot for that for November's meeting?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And we had a meeting in Kansas with George Lawrence also on a site.
So is the subject matter non-returning?
It's the old units.
Yep.
And it's essentially five versus essentially what they did was they took any area around the area that looked like it was forced to put that overlay on it without ground truthing to see if it actually met the criteria for a biodiversity area, which is multi-tiered and overgrowth and not second, third. And, I mean, there are certain criteria. The one project that we've been involved with that is that the consultant goes out there and says it's missing two or three of those criteria. So
it should be some kind of critical habitat.
Yeah,
I think it's species. So
part of the conversation is how
to. But I don't know, is it who knows if the original who knows did. That's the.
So if it did apply and met all those criteria of mitigation, could that happen after?
I believe it can, but it's the same as habitat, like mitigation.
Yeah, you still go through the do not disturb.
They actually need the avoidance mitigation criteria.
They really don't have a code section for it specifically, and then they're treating it with lack of other guidance. Mm-hmm. They're treating it just like a prairie habitat. And I don't know that that's quite as appropriate. It's not as environmentally sensitive as your prairie. So when you look at being able to mitigate for woods and upland, it's a lot easier to mitigate for that than it would be to create a new riparian habitat because you're limited by the light body. So it should have a different mitigation, different code. It should handle it completely differently, I believe. But there's nothing in the code right now. So
next month's going to be busy. So we're kicking the retaining wall.
And
which is becoming a
big
issue.
And you got pictures for me.
I got a few pictures from you. That's all I had seen so far.
Commercial, industrial, residential.
I think it's going to be an issue all
the
over
topic's
the
topic's open for everything.
All over the board, and it's a catch-22 in some circumstances. It's a hard one, I think.
And in some jurisdictions, they allow those walls right up to the property line.
Most
jurisdictions.
That's not my experience, at least. Yeah. So we'll
get the So those are the two I didn't see next month.
Yes.
Yeah. We're moving that to next month as well.
They're going to chew up some time.
Yeah. Should be good conversations. So.
There may be another one, but this is. I saw Marty earlier this week. He said he wants to revisit the shoreline exemption stuff.
Okay.
Again. Huh. So that whole issue about having to do a full shoreline permit for an exemption. I'm not sure what
I'll drop an email to.
Yeah, it's not something that's super high priority, but he wants to revisit it.
I think you have lots of good comments about that. Okay, great. So item two has been moved back a month on the agenda. Marty was not available, or Jim, or Terry. So.
I didn't just have one more.
Sorry.
I just wanted to let everybody know, and I wanted to thank staff as well, but ended up testifying at the Joint Board of County Commission and Commission hearing on the GMA plan, reiterated Pete's position on the population numbers. And I want to thank staff again for their very long night with the deliberations at the County Commission. You guys did a fabulous job there.
Thank you.
Not many people
like the outcome, but thank you.
At least a bunch. All right. Any more? All right. Item two is going to move to next month, so we will move on to the final plat process updates.
Okay. We had another meeting on the final plat working group. When this originally started back in 2014, just to give everyone a quick, I think everyone's been here on the background of this before, but last person were taking longer than they should, and the system needed to be looked at. So we took it up the you made a working group and you took it off. Staff's been great. Diana's been on it, working with us on the command shop, and Marty and now Angie Merrill, along with a number of other people, even outside of the. So we met again on July 22nd. There's been a bit of a delay. We had one meeting that was canceled. I think it was canceled or whatever, and I got bumped, and then the last meeting I wasn't able to make. So, but what I did is basically just take this, because it continues in my mind to be kind of a work in progress that we keep addressing every 6 months or so, and keep working on some of the issues that are still out there that can be worked on. The ones that I haven't commented on are generally working really well. The ones I commented on are the ones that we focused on and or that need additional work, focused on the meeting at or need additional work. The electronic distribution of files, obviously that's a big issue these days. Staff expects 2017 or is looking at 2017 as a goal for full electronic submission capabilities. I don't know if we didn't talk, but I assume we've talked in previous meetings that there are still some people that may still, even at that time, prefer paper and have the ability to. And then I'll defer to you if I'm saying anything that I might have taken or heard wrong or in my notes. So that's a good thing that they're working towards. The issue of the plotters and scanners and things like that, for community development to have access to those to be able to move things through quicker. Marty is still looking into the plotter and scanner and figuring out at some point budgeting that in. But right now, sharing with engineering appears to be working, and that seems to be going well. I think probably the biggest surprise to me out of the meeting, and maybe not to you guys, I'm pointing at Mike especially, but the appointments are a week out.
At least.
That's just a staffing issue that staff's aware of it. They're working on it, and they're trying to resolve it, I believe. From a final plat standpoint, Angie and Chuck can set their own appointments. So the people for the title companies and people like that are familiar with the process, and Angie and Chuck and all, hopefully we'll just get the word out. They can set their own appointments, and so we can, again, from a final plat standpoint anyway, move that forward. But that was a little surprising to find out that the appointments were a week out.
I have something to piggyback on that.
Yeah, go ahead. Please.
And if you could pass this along to Chuck, too, he's not here to hear this, but he should also be aware we had a situation where one of our staff went in to submit and didn't have an appointment. He needed to get an application in at the direction of the client. Understood that the appointments were a week out, and chose to go down and to sit and to wait. Saying this as nicely as possible, staff, Chuck, would still like us to make an appointment as much as possible, but he should also be aware that I believe, unless something has changed that we're not aware of, that we still have every ability to go down and sit and wait for an appointment with staff, with permitting staff to take in an application or to drop stuff off. And that we shouldn't be limited to only appointments to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that the experience that one of our staff had there was he was very encouraging to only go the appointment route. So with the understanding that we can still come in and sit around and wait for an appointment. So that's what I kind of want to piggyback on to that.
My understanding is, and I can't speak for Chuck's group, I really don't know, but my understanding is you can come in, but if you're wanting to be seen as quickly as possible, set up an appointment, if you can't. Yep. Wednesdays is appointment only day, yep. But as far far as I know, you still have the opportunity to just kind of sit and wait if you want to wait.
Yeah. And sometimes we don't have a choice. We're at the direction of our clients. If they want it in, they'll see how long we
can. I don't think that's a problem. It's just that if they would like you to set an appointment, that it's not possible.
Right.
Yeah, it's
well, yeah, I mean, I think from, I mean, just plat aside from my standpoint, what was interesting on that, I think we've got kind of a workaround with plat being a little bit of a different animal and different players involved as the system broke, though, because if you're having to wait a week or 2 weeks to get an application, and that's way too long for any client. I don't care who your client is, that's going to be way too long for any client, or most clients, 90% of them. And then so you're forcing a lock-in basis, which this whole thing was supposed to resolve. So it might be something to put on a future agenda or something. But I mean,
I'm always on a week early.
So. I mean, they are aware of it. And that's, you know, if you look at the next thing, because, you know, we were going to have some, had an idea of having some, setting up some overflow staffing or ideas to receive plats on the same day and same day appointments and things like that. And the bottom line there again was staffing's been tough and they need to budget in the new planning tech and work on it. But there are workarounds, but for the majority of plats in terms of getting appointments with Angie or Chuck or whatever and getting them in. So I will say they're well aware of the problem, the issue with the times. We're going to set up a process to accept additional plat information requests, submittals on a non-fee basis. The fee basis, you know, presents audit problems and all. But if you're just going to hand in additional stuff that's been requested, how do you do this? We were trying to have that in place so that you could just do it on a quick walk-in basis. It's my understanding it's not in place, but it's something that Andrew's going to work on and try to.
Yeah, my understanding is that as long as it doesn't require a fee, you can give it to the front counter. I think that's what Chuck has said to me. Okay. I could be wrong. I was up to Angie was going to be, I think she's going to be here about 3 o'clock. But I think you can give it to the front counter as long as it does not involve setting up a fee. Because the cashier, the receptionist, can't put that in and can't handle both ends of the spectrum. They can take in a piece of paper without and give it to Angie, I believe.
Okay, so we'll leave it. Need to check on that. I know she was working on on trying to figure that out. Because again, if plats, by the time you're ready for a plat, every day counts, and then the one that kills you is getting a notice stuff and all that. So we'll look at that. There was talk about, again, minor plat alterations and things like that. Marty is moving forward, working with Jan on potential code suggestions to implement in the future. Having the board sign the Mylars the day of the hearing seems to be working. They seem to be in the habit of that. Having the council do that, I changed that, but they seem to be in the habit of doing that. So, you know, that used to be 2 to 3 days, and now we're getting back usually the same day or next. The new question we've identified to be addressed, and it's kind of an overall question too, what are the implications of the full council in January on plats? And if the chair is not there, who's going to sign and what's the protocol? So we have that on our radar to look at and make sure that we don't lose anything there. One of the biggest things that is working is the ability to put permits in based on health department. The signature of the health department on your plat, if you get that and give it to the building department, they'll start processing your building permits, which can take a week or two or whatever it is, while GIS is loading up the plat and getting it recorded, you know, getting it recorded, loading up the plat and all that. So we did a big savings there, and that is, I believe, working. People that know that, and we're still communicating that. There's still, unfortunately, an unavoidable lag, you know, being told basically GIS and recording. There's a 3 to 4 day lag. But again, it's another workaround the staff's been great on, so that's allowing people to get permits in. The developing a procedure to allow first review of as-bills to be paper review, that's something that's out there. I think there's more communication that needs to be made with engineers. I'm sure that someone like your firm probably knows, Eric. I don't know if they're taking advantage of that, but you can get the first review on paper and then the next review on inspector stamped as bills.
Normally it starts early, but one of the challenges is still the punch list and the as-bills. So the engineers won't review as-bills until they're touch lists. So a lot of times we want to do the as-bills early before it's paved even. So if there is something that we find that's not right, we don't have to come back and tear the road out to fix it. So that's pretty standard. Yeah.
And that's not something we have
to review the as-bills until the punch list is done. So
That's what's supposed to have been changed, is that if the punch list is fairly minor, they will review the as-bills on paper and move it through with the punch list and minor.
I want to make sure we're talking the same thing. So that we're talking apples and oranges. Are we talking about the plat review or just reviewing the
as-bills? Engineering as-bills.
Well, the engineer won't review the as-bills until the inspector has done his complete review.
Yeah.
And then they've done everything,
okay, so
and they've marked on the as-bills that they've made that these are the corrections that need to be made.
Yeah.
And then they go to the engineer to make sure that those are correct, and then it gets back to you guys.
It's just one of those things. If you actually do find a problem on the as-bills, then it's almost too late. So.
But the things that I'm thinking that they're finding is minor cleanup stuff. It's not anything major that I've been aware of. Let me put it that way. I don't think it's been a problem. But if we're talking about reviewing the plan again, then that's a different issue.
Yeah.
Okay, so every day or two you can knock off the better, because you're right at the end when everything is, the builders have the most carrying cost, the home builders are ready to get in, this market, they want to start building, and everyone's hot and heavy, and you got to explain, this is going on, or that's going on, and that's where they get lost, is construction on the ground, and ready to go. So I wrote that down, and we'll look at that. The other thing is the template legal documents. We're trying to get the communication out there that do not put covenants and things like that. Your CC&Rs, keep them outside. Anything that Chris Horn needs to review, keep them outside. But they're also looking at, kind of low-hanging. Are there documents that we can put together that are boilerplate documents that are basically templates that can't be revised but can be filled out and can cover some of these things? And I think Chris is looking at that. He's working on it with staff, and they talked about maybe talking to some people like Jamie and other attorneys in town to see if they had any thoughts or ideas on that. One of the biggest things we wanted to accomplish was getting one staff member to be responsible for everything, and that's Andy Merrill, and she's doing a great job. She's not here. There she is. She thinks she's not him. She's doing a great job, and that's really, really helped, having someone take ownership of it and move it through on, not holding it up on one level, moving it through on multi-layers and like that is. The other thing is the communication of the maintenance bond. I was in a brief on a month or two ago, and I had forgotten all about it, really, frankly, and it came up with the inspector who brought it up. You can get your bond done and out of the way, and based on your construction quote, as long as that doesn't change substantially, whatever your bid, and that's been great. Did one where we got it done in like the first 2 weeks or something. It's got it out of the way because it always gets forgotten. So,
right.
So that's where that is. This has been a great group, and mm-hmm. It's been fun because we're actually seeing a lot of great things happen. Including Angie and Diana, as always.
Now it looks like you've worked through a lot of.
Yeah.
Jeff, have you seen? With all of these improvements that I'm sure you're still working through them, what's the delta from where you were before to where you are today with getting final plans recorded?
I think we've added, if you add up the different times and things, I think we've either added or made the process more efficient that we knocked out probably 2 or 3 weeks probably.
Wow.
Back from where it was in 2014. Back in 2014, I remember sitting, when we started talking about this, sitting in Chuck Pryor's office, and Chuck pulled up the plats, and there were some plats that were sitting that we're trying to get pushed through that we're backlogged with, you know, months, I think. I don't remember. It was broken. So now we're talking about days and weeks that we're trying to, you know, days now that we're trying to trim off the process.
And is most of this following construction, or is it during the entire process?
It's during the entire process.
It's the middle of the final plat, the first review, all the way through until reporting.
Right. I mean, if you do it, I mean, I'm not sure if I answered, if I'm addressing your question right, but I mean, we'll turn in plats, for instance, you know, within our first plat review, we'll turn it within a week or two of construction started, because most of the information is available then. And then you can start reviewing it, we get comments back, and we've been doing it gradually, so that the last set of reviews basically goes through at the same time the punch list is going through, everything else is going through, and that's kind of that time period that we're looking at.
That's kind of what I was wondering.
That's what we're really trying to shave off. But a lot of it is communication, and it's, you know, we're lucky in the sense we've got a lot of people that, those people that really are in the know, because doing a plat is really hard to do, so those people that professionally do the plats are understanding this, and staff have been great, and the process is moving fairly smoothly. I guess if you tried to do this on your own, it still might be a, you know, but it's an education thing to get developers. A lot of it falls on the people, the developers and the engineers, and all to get this information and to staff early.
I think one of the biggest things that's come out of this meeting is good communication.
Yes.
And one theme I heard again and again, and I just wanted to, you know, give kudos again to Angie. That's what I've heard is that, you know, since she's been taking that over, really took it by the horns, it's gone a lot smoother. So a lot of that's basically effort on staff, and then staff educating the development community as well. So
yes,
it's a communication piece. So thanks for your work.
No, being proactive. And Andy's been very proactive, like making calls to us and emails to us. And Andy does the same thing, calls to us and emails to us saying, we need to, you know, to get this, and then which is great because it puts it on our shoulders. So it's going well.
Good. Yeah, identifying those steps that can be knocked out early and not having it too long a piece of time.
Yes. Right.
Oh yeah. Did you want that came up,
or anything else?
anything else here? Yeah. Any other input you have? That's right. That came up. Whether we still do the non-fee base the middle same day. There was a question about, I think, at the meeting of whether or not you have.
Either can come in and do it one time as long as it's not anything to do with fees. They will walk in.
Oh yeah. I think that they have been doing that. There's no problem.
Okay. I might have misunderstood that as well.
Well, I think that's just recently changed. They've gotten more training up front, and so I've noticed that they've been doing that for me. And
okay.
Then also, usually if somebody calls, I can get them in the same day for an appointment. Very rarely is it
that. We talked about that. Because I said the shocking thing was we heard that it was a week or two out on appointments, but the good news was that you said we'll set your own appointments on these issues.
Yeah.
And Chuck said he would as well if he needed to or whatever. But so,
yeah.
Do you have anything else on it? It seems like it's going well.
I think that it's going pretty well. If I missed anything that you guys are, you know, still maybe struggling with it, I can improve on. I always
want to
know that too.
Yep. And so you're gonna just continue to
chip
away at these maybe every.
I would like to do it, you know, every 6 months or so, just to, you know, because I'm talking to staff and Marty and you know, it's kind of, but sit down in a room and just talk about it, because new issues do come up.
Yeah.
You know, and it's an important area that when that gets log jammed, that's when, you know, it really starts to get heated. I mean, people really want their engineering plans and everything through, but it's kind of like the end of the road.
People are ready to
see the road frustration.
The flow from all out to actually come in, right?
Yeah.
And it says here that you've got staff follow-ups, a couple.
We do. There are
staff in here, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to communicate with staff on the follow-up things and whatever they're at the meeting too. So.
Great. Well, thanks for your effort.
Absolutely.
Keep improving that process. That's great. All right, let's move on to the comp plan update. Oliver?
Thank you. Let me first thank you for inviting me back. There are a couple of projects that relates to the comp plan, and I want to provide you some updates to what have happened since I came to visit with you. The parks and recreational plan have been approved by the board. The parks and recreation is one of the mandated element that has to be in the comp plan. So they approved that, and now parks will be in a position to go after some grants that we have not been able to go after. So that's one project that we can check off. The only issue remaining is, as you know, Vancouver currently no longer have the same parks program, if you will. So it's about 2 years ago, Vancouver have been on their own. So we have some park district that we have to revisit and see, you know, what needs to happen to the remainder of the park district that are in the unincorporated Vancouver UGA, and see whether we can combine that and then come up with what will be a reasonable boundaries, or is how we restructure that and see what the new fees are going to be, if any. So that work is going to be starting very soon with my staff, Public Works, and a consultant helping us out on that. That's going to be key in for matching grant and so forth, how much fees are collected and using it for in applying for grant as matching opportunities. So that work will begin soon, but I'm reporting to you that the board did approve the parks plan, and that's the good news. The other projects relating to the comp plan that is out there is the, and these have come before you, which is the TIF update. We are still working with the commissioners or the councillors to see what needs to happen before it goes to hearing. The Planning Commission considered the TIF update and made a recommendation that the board approved the work that some of your members here participated in. We don't have traffic impact fee adopted by the board yet. So that, when that happens, I will report back to you what those are and what the new fees are. Last time I was here, I talked about the upcoming joint BC and the board hearings that occurred on the 3rd and the 10th. After that, the councillors went away and the Planning Commission began their deliberation on the 17th. And as Jamie pointed out, I give them kudos. They did a very great job under the circumstances, and staff was there with them. So the recommendation of the PC is in your packet. What I will do is just run through them quickly and then see if you have questions before I wrap up in terms of what is next. The way that this was structured, we started with alternative one, which some of you know we have to include in the CEPA analysis as required by the CEPA statute. So it is often referred as no action alternative, but it's not a no growth option. So the piece started with that. That's alternative one. Then alternative two, county initiated proposals, if you will. Some of them are map cleanup, some of them are like 2B, 2C, and 2D changes that, if approved, would have reduced both the agriculture and forest tier designation from Ag 20 to 10, and Forest 40 to 20. And then 2D is to, because Rural 20 was used, came about as a result of what I may call a settlement or through remand to buffer resource areas. So if those resource areas, let's say ag or forest, goes to 20, then it makes sense to reduce the R20 to 10 if they are body resource. As you can see, those three items did not pass in alternative 2. The changes to rural center is not that really significant. What we are proposing there is that we have one rural commercial designation on our comp plan, and you have to go to the zoning map to see whether you are inside a rural center or you are outside of a rural center. A good example would be take the Duluth area. It's out. The Duluth area is not a rural center, so you just need a rural commercial that is not in a rural center, but it will have a rural commercial designation on the comp plan. For you to have the CR2, you have to be in the rural center. So that's really some technical work there. In the case of the Urban Reserve 2F, as some of you are aware, there have been some areas that have been in Urban Reserve for quite some time now. What we are proposing here is to take a look at our current map and make them a true, let Urban Reserve become an overlay, and the underlying zoning in some of what we are proposing will revert back to Rural 5, and in some areas, the whatever the rural zoning will be the case, and then you have an overlay as a mapping designation, then showing that that's an area that will likely be considered when we are looking at bringing land in the urban road boundary. The 2G is very, again, technical in nature, but this I think will be helpful. What we are proposing in 2G is that we have one crop land designation of commercial, and then we don't have to wait once a year when you go to the planning commission and go through the annual review cycle. You can now go, if this is approved, you can go to the hearing examiner and change from one commercial district to the next. So
it's not, so there's not a comp plan anymore, it's just a zone.
So there's three comp plan designations for the three commercial zones?
One
comp
plan.
That's the goal.
Yeah. Same thing with the rural districts too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, rural districts, you can't do it now.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Just on the map, it's wrong.
Right.
And the code is right.
Okay, so you can do it in the code.
So some of these changes, if you want me to go through each individual one, they are really technical in nature. Some of them require map changes. What we are proposing in the Urban Reserve is exactly what we are proposing in 2I on page 2, which the, and this is structured in such a way that the Planning Commission could have missed marking or pick whatever they like in all two and add it on to alternative one, or pick whatever they like in alternative three and add it on. That's how it's structured. Or pick whatever they like in, so it would be a mismatch at the end of the day. But this table format helped them in making their recommendation, and it helped us to walk them through their deliberation. So you can see on page 2 each of these, which one based on the motion, which passed and which failed. But in the bottom line is that the Planning Commission did not recommend any changes in the rural area. They did not change, they did not make any recommendation. None of the ORC 4 as proposed, the planning commission said no. They did not also approve reducing the minimum parcel size in ag 20 to 10 and 40 to 20 and adjusting rural 20 to 10 where applicable. They rejected that. And they did, however, add the request from the city of Battleground to add about 80 acres to the current Battleground UGA. They also rejected the recommendation from Washugo to add about 40 acres to their UGA for residential. Richfield, they denied or made a recommendation that the board denied Richfield request to add 111 acres for residential. And then there was a tie 3-3 on one of the proposal coming from the city of Crescenta. This is about 56 acres currently designated as ag. This will be land for jobs if approved in the Crescenta UGA. The vote there was 3-3. So we are going to take that to the board with no recommendation. However, they did add 17 acres that the school district requested be added to their UGB. You can see there on page 3 that they denied or made a motion to deny what is proposed in all 4. I can say that we are beginning to, yes?
What was controversial about the center and the Washugo ones that they...
I think the question there, Jamie can correct me, I think the issue there was, they've seen this before, it was added in the 07 with the exception of Richfield, but hence you, anytime you bring in ag designated land into the UGB, you have to use the same work criteria to say that it's no longer ag, you know, go through the designation. So it's a tough requirement to go through, and I give credit to the cities. They did the designation report and submitted it to the record. But I think the PC members who have been through this were more concerned that they don't think that this will, if challenged, that this will probably not be accepted. So that was part of their reasoning. That's all I can add, because I think that was what was before them. Jamie was involved in some of the, I remember running into him at the Supreme Court. I said, Jamie, what are you doing? But, you know, we were at the state Supreme Court, and, you know, the final decision, it took us 7 years to come out of that. But, you know, majority of the ag land that was brought into the 07 plan was all reverted back to ag, with the exception of those that were annexed by Richfield and Camus. So that was their reasoning, to put it out bluntly. That was why they said no. We wouldn't be enabling this again, only to go back to the court and we are not successful. So they just said no. So that, I hope that answers your question, but that's why they said no, to just add two ag properties. The piece that Washugo wanted was rural 5. They could have accepted that, but when you see the map, you will see that the piece, for me, if I were the planning commission, I was having a problem really justifying bringing that piece in. It was aborting Washugo urban growth boundary, but in a very weird shape, if you will. And they said, why wouldn't the city consider bringing property from the southern boundary of their current UGA? Why they go to the tip of their UGA? It was just, and there was no one from Washugo to make the case. So they made a recommendation to deny that. And at the back on page 4, they were struggling in the beginning, because, you know, based on the testimony, based on the issues before them, I think they were struggling to find a way to, it wasn't so much of a monetary compensation, but they were struggling with how can the councillors not hear the concerns of the rural property owners, that so they put this motion here to the councillors to consider some flexibility, some opportunity for
property owners to who have had their property since 1994 opportunity to further subdivide their property. I don't know how you do that, to be quite honest with you, but they put the motion out there and asking the councilors to study that. So what happens next? We are in the process of mapping this with GIS, so there will be a map. As soon as GIS is done, we will put it out there so the public sees what the Planning Commission recommends. And the staff report coming from the Planning Commission to the councilors is already on our grid. The chairman of the PC is reviewing that. And as soon as he gives that it's okay, that will be forwarded on to the commissioners or to the councilors. They are scheduled hearing to consider the recommendation of the Planning Commission is October 20th. I will say that because the board, and this is where I and our legal folks are still asking some questions, is the comment period or testimony now closed? They did at the joint, hearing. I wouldn't say that it is closed because now they'll be considering the recommendation of the PC, so I'm sure that they will welcome testimony or comments on the recommendation of the PC. Now it will be what people like or don't like about them. I don't know, but that's a call for the legal counsel whether testimony. But testimonies are still being received on the comp plan process itself. So comments, we can continue to send comments until the board makes the final decision. On the DEIS itself, comments have closed as of September 17th at 4 p.m. And I can say that all the comments submitted were submitted to the PC. Some of them came in at 4 p.m. If you sit on the Planning Commission, which you have Jeff, I don't know how you read that at 4 p.m., but it's safe to say that they got all the comments that was submitted, and all that comment will now be transmitted to the councillors, and they are all on our FDP site. If anybody wants to go there and check to make sure that their comments are in, that's the place to go and look at that. The board hearing is October 20th at 10 a.m. I cannot tell you, I don't know what the councillors are going to do. One, they can reject the recommendation of the PC. Two, they can accept it. Three, they can tweak it, add, subtract, whatever. But the next step is to hear what, see what directive comes out of the councillors and what they prefer alternative is going to be that is now going to be studied in the final EIS. I can also say that all the comments that have come in have gone to our consultant. Jamie and Jeff knows the process. We have to respond to all those comments, and we are asking our consultant to help us do that. So that folks are going to see all the comments that come in the final EIS and the response to those, and that's where things stand. So I'll take questions.
Oliver, just a few. Going back to the public facility, the new zone for urban areas.
Yes.
Are those for schools? Can you elaborate on what that is for?
What that is it will be for already developed public facilities. For example, a park that is already developed, we should apply public facilities to those as well as already developed schools. One of the recommendations we made to the Planning Commission is that if the school district acquires properties and it's not yet developed, then we shouldn't apply the public facility to those because the school, we want to give the school district some wiggle room to surplus land and if they don't need it anymore. So, but it will only apply to already developed schools.
So K-12, will the objective be that you avoid a conditional use permit process by that zone? I mean, is that, or I mean, is there any thought of that? I'm just curious.
I think we were looking at what the city has done with their master plan, so that if you have a master plan, I think it becomes a
permitted use outright instead of going through the conditional use.
Yes.
So we're looking at that. It seems like that would be helpful.
Okay,
that's part of the guy.
And no problem. Yeah. But it would apply essentially a case for K-12, I'm guessing, and probably like sewer water facilities.
Yes, right. Exactly. Yeah. We don't want to apply public facility on quasi private, public, public. We are struggling with that, but I think it makes sense to, although we have internal. Check and balances when we do the BBLM, for example, but that's where we always have issues to make sure that publicly owned lands are not included in the inventory so that we're not overestimating capacity. So this will help us in the future to really further refine our BBLM as we go forward so that we are really capturing what is available and we're not including properties that are.
Okay, and I'm assuming that this would not apply to WSU. I mean, they have the universities on already.
Yes.
I think what we, the public facility would apply as a compound designation, but the universities
would still be there. You know, take the fairground, for example, the amphitheater is not owned by the county, but it is part of the, when you look at the entire fairgrounds area. So we are looking at some of this and apply it in a way we think it makes more sense. And you know, it is something that will go back to the Planning Commission and I can bring the ordinance when we write it to this group so that you can take a look at it. So we're working on that as we speak.
And then the next step, and I know this is down the road, but just kind of an idea of the chapters themselves, land use, housing, health. I'm not sure if there's going to be a health chapter this time or not, and what the implications of that will be for looking at industry and those kinds of things.
We are going to be restructuring the current comp plan text document, and the idea is to do the similar thing that was done to Title 40, make it easier and friendlier to use. So that work is underway, but we are not going to be touching the policy section at this point because we don't know what the preferred alternative is going to be and whether that would have any need to change some of the policies in the existing comp plan. There is some concern that, especially by this board, they want to focus on things that are mandated by the state statute. The Growing Healthier report is one that, as you know, the previous board did direct that it be folded in into the comp plan where applicable or where necessary. When that report was done in 2012, there was a push to have a health chapter. That board at the time did not approve a standalone health chapter. So we are working to see where some of the components, if you will, in the Growing Healthier report, as well as the aging readiness plan, where it makes sense to be incorporated into the comp plan to do so. However, I will also add that this current board will have to review that in a public hearing, make a decision one way or the other, what is in and what is out. So I'll leave it at that. I know that we had a work session with them. I wasn't here at the time, but my staff did. We proposed two countywide planning policies dealing with the Growing Healthier report and aging, and the board said, no, don't make it a countywide planning policy. So you will not see a countywide planning policy on the aging readiness plan or the Growing Healthier report. So, and there may be further conversation along the line as to what they would like to see in the comp plan and what they would like to see as policies that this board wants to support. But you know that this is often what happens. You can't tie the hands of future board. Future board may come in and say, we want all this is back. So I don't know what's going to happen. But as we go through this process, it's something that will become public when the draft is out so that the public will have opportunity to comment on that, and I will make it available to DEEB as we take that through the process. So work is being done to restructure our current contractors.
And is that like next year?
No, it's going to be part of this year.
No, I'm just saying that which the policies and the health, if they're not healthier, is that this year? Is that still like?
We are working on it internally, but you know what I can say is that what we are doing is looking at the existing comp plan, identifying what is true policy, what are strategy, what are implementation. Some of it is something that we can say this belongs to Title 40, for example. Some of these strategies we've already completed, and why should it be carried over in the comp plan? Those type of housekeeping, if you will. We are not touching any of the policies. There's no directive to work on any of the policies. However, I think that when we know what the preferred alternative is going to be, then there may be some policy tweaks. For example, had the Planning Commission recommended some changes as proposed in the rural and forest, you will see some new policy directives coming out of that, which will help us in drafting or amending Title 40 to address that. So those type of things are not yet on the table to work on. So I'll stop there and take questions that you may have. I know that we have additional issues that are tied to the comp plan that Jose is going to get into, so I will turn it over to him unless you have specific questions. I've talked about the work that we've done on DIF, the coming work that is underway on tax impact fees, and the next one is SAFE. And I'll turn it over to Jose. As you all know, when we do the comp plan, the school district and all the service providers are supposed to submit their capital facilities plan to us for us to review. And as part of the comp plan is our ability to assure that we can support the plan that is being drafted or that is being proposed. In this case, we still have the alternative one. So all these, whether it's traffic impact fee, whether it's park impact fee, whether it's school impact fee, these are all based on the existing plan.
So the schools have submitted, so 9 of the 10 school districts have submitted their CFPs for 2016 and beyond. They're required by code to update those at least every 4 years. We changed that in 2011-2012. It used to be every 2 years. So in your handout is the list of fee changes, and we just gave you some context from 2009 to 2011. There are some significant increases in 2016, particularly in Ridgefield.
Jeff and I were just looking at
it. There's a lot of conversation going on about these.
Obviously, this is an unincorporated county in Ridgefield district, but it would be really interesting to get there.
Yeah, I think they're going to their planning commission sometime soon. We're meeting with the planning commission tonight to go over these. We're going to have a hearing in 2 weeks, so if you want to get some comments in regarding that. I also provided you as an example, the Washougal School District impact fee calculation, so you can see what the formula is. And then the handout I just handed out is just sort of a breakdown of some of those the fee components and how the calculation works, and it's in our code.
The only thing I would add is that I share this information with the county acting manager just to give him heads up. He's also asking very similar questions in terms of a significant increase in Ridgefield School District, and asks what my thoughts are. And I didn't provide any because, I mean, it is what it is. You know, you have to look at the school district and look at their CFP. I know that Richfield School District is much wider than the city limits of Richfield. But as you all know, Richfield has been one of the fastest growing cities in the state in the last 2-4 years. So what I'm hearing from the district is that they see a significant amount of growth in their district. So you've got to really look at the CFP, and I'm sure that they went through their school board and through their own processes before they arrive at this. I don't know, we will be watching to see what their planning commission and their city council do. I don't think that they have, I think it appears that they have a TN system.
Well, they're proposing a two-step increase.
Okay.
First step in 2016 and then the second in 2017.
Are they allowed to do that like that, to propose a two-step increase?
Well, because it's within the outer limit of 2017, so they can have less in the first year.
Okay.
I feel like there's a math error.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's
when we look at it in comparison to the other cities, especially 2017, I just get shocked.
And the school district CFP is on our website and the Planning Commission page, and so that's on there. You can take a look at that.
And this is under the purview of the councilors to approve.
Yes.
Remember when we were saying, you know, locking in their fees for a certain amount of time, and they went down, so why would we care about locking? This is why.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say a little intuition, but this is why, right here.
So these are unincorporated, or are these incorporated?
Good.
It's both. Okay. It's the school district boundaries. So like the city of Richfield would be looking at approving the same. If you look at the single family, there's a provision that allows for a tax credit, and it is driven by the assessed value. And so on a single family, normally the assessed value is typically much higher than the multifamily, so the multifamily isn't getting as big a credit, and so that keeps the fee higher. And if you look at Camas, their multifamily rate is higher than
same thing.
They just went to like same. It's like going to be a policy decision making the same.
But if you look at what the formula says they can charge for multifamily, it's significantly higher than what they
can. Okay. So it says you can do more. This is what they're choosing. Okay.
And is it so? It's the school boards that are recommending these.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah,
they've gone through their process, including the school board, and some of you are aware that in the past they will make a policy choice or a policy call not to assess the high amount that the formula shows. I recall that the first school district that started assessing the following the what the formula shows was Washougal. 2-3, I can't remember, maybe 7-8 years ago, they were the first school district to start assessing the maximum allowed under the formula. And then the other school districts started following suit, but in the past, the school board will make a policy choice or call on what they believe is reasonable. This is all based on need and based on what I tell the county manager that this is based on the current comp plan and it's based on the growth that they're seeing within their districts.
Which
Yeah. Yeah. This doesn't seem to make sense. The current plan doesn't. The current for the new push. Without even the new stuff that you're looking at.
I could see if we need a new school, and then all of a sudden there's a $20 million hit to your CFP.
There's got to be some assumption about the approvability of bonds that go with this, because Vancouver proportionally has approved every single school levy, and there's a lowest.
And Richfield, though, has recently passed theirs. They've already done all the construction on it. And I'm sure they're a little concerned that they're not going to get another bond pass anytime soon.
Maybe, and one of the things in consulting with the school district official is that they see this could also change in the coming years, depending on what happens to class sizes, if you will.
Right.
So that is also out there.
Yeah, they were very specific in their CFPs about pointing out that this doesn't include any Supreme Court decisions or directions regarding the clear decision, so that would increase the need even more.
That's right. For the class size. Class thing. Yeah. I can add all that in, but is that really should that really be on the backs of new development, which is looking at that fee there instead of bonds or other funding? So because of lack of other funding, that's
a right challenge.
It is a challenge. Because,
it's
going to be a challenge.
But I mean, I think there's still going to be a proportionality issue if you're going to reduce the class size, because in the you're planning for a classroom of 25 for elementary or 26. They've got it all listed out. If you have to reduce that to 15, you're just going to need more classrooms and more schools. And so it compounds.
Well, it's I know for a fact, because I've been in conversations with the campus school superintendent, that they're going out for a bond in February, and traditionally school districts have always reached out to all of our clients for support. Assuming that we will do the same there again this time, it's just frustrating to me that Richfield School Board, instead of reaching out, sneaks this up to you guys.
Okay.
So it's one component that is related to a comp plan update, and
I guess the other thing is that we're going to fold this into the comp plan, so it wouldn't be effective until the comp plan is adopted. Right. So it would be July of next year.
What additional comment, conversation that I'm having with the school district, particularly Battleground School District, is that everyone is on edge. I must say that on what alternative 4 will look like, because if you put at the majority of the all 4, with the exception of some portion of what is in Richfield, maybe Green Mountain, but it's predominantly Battleground, so they're watching, they want to know what that look like, and they may be forced to revise the CFP. So that is out there. Mm.
If alternative 4.
Yes, depending on what comes out. So they're watching that as well. And they've been calling me, do you know? And I said, no, I'm not aware of any proposal at this point.
Are these done, or is this just what they're thinking about doing?
No.
So the school board's adopted, all the school boards have adopted these, and they're making a recommendation to the county to adopt them.
Wow.
And they're going to the local jurisdictions, the cities have to adopt them as well.
I was watching the Vancouver Planning Commission, I believe, two nights ago or whatever. They approved it, but they have some concern on affordable housing crisis, if you will. But they did make a recommendation that the council approved it. They had to do Commerce, Richfield, no, Commerce, Evergreen, and Vancouver.
We've been, the Planning Commission has looked at these in the past. I mean, they really look at them, and there's been a lot of times where, depending on Planning Commission, the Planning Commission I've been on, we dig into the CFP, look at what they're requesting, and seriously question
increases like this and have denied them or, you know, recommended.
Yeah.
Exactly. And ultimately, I think they were denied. It was just way too big of a jump. It was justified. But it takes digging into the numbers, you know, they usually bring whatever that attorney is that specializes.
Well, they come in with their whole dog and pony show, and you got to cut behind the smoke and mirrors and see what's there. That's shocking. But
I mean, to me, you know, we're sitting having an affordable housing task force right now in the city of Vancouver.
Portland, this is a big issue.
You know, I'm understanding that at least one of the council members is interested in this issue, and to see this kind of dramatic increase. Start adding $11,000 to the door on top of the other things that these guys have to pay. Affordability just goes out the window. And like I said to people in the past, it's, you know, typically these things get, it's obviously passed off to the home buyer, and that's reflected in their mortgage rate, and that money that they're paying is, you know, paying interest on all these fees. That's going to benefit out-of-state banks versus, you know, giving them more disposable income and a cost to have lower fees that they can be spending here locally on sales tax. There's a real disconnect there.
And, you know, I couldn't add anything more to that. I can only say that in the past, there's been a dialogue, you know, between the representative of the school districts. Manny picked this up, I would say, maybe a couple of years ago. It used to be Liam Bremer, used to be Hornstein. So, same issues. I recall some of this going back to the school board having them take a second look at what is being proposed, maybe lower it or whatever the case may be. But I suspect that they've gone through their own process, reviewed this, and utilized the formula that is in code and come up with this based on their need. As Jose indicated, this is on our website, so you have access to their submittals. They don't want to surprise the members. This is part of our comp plan in terms of updates. So I felt that it's important to let you know that this is coming. And the same day today, I presented it to our county manager so that he's not surprised. This will be before our council. I don't know how what will happen at the planning commission. They're seeing it for the first time at a work session today. And then a hearing is scheduled for 2 weeks. The school did all the CEPA work on this, so far we received comments. They've gone through their own processes in terms of CEPA and everything else. So, and you know that there is no other mechanism to collect the fees for the school district except through the county. One of the issues that is out there is at what time would impact fees, particularly school and others, are collected. So that is out there. Money have told me that they will take that on. I think the legislature said you have to come up with which of the bond release you're going to pick by September of 2016. So that conversation is going to kick off again. So whether it's the time of occupancy, sale, you know, there's a variety of pick list. So that conversation is going to pick up very soon. We don't know which one the county is going to pick, and the cities will go the same. It's the counties and cities within the county. It has to come up with that by September of next year. So this is not, it's something that you should be aware of, and if the planning commission recommends approval, we'll come back to you and let you know what is in there. Yeah.
Great.
Thank you, Jose.
Appreciate the update, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Do you want to quite agree? Yeah, I don't know whether we have the motion or not, but at least pass on the planning commission, or be surprised to the planning commission since they're seeing it from us.
back with us. Like, we're surprised with, you know, with the rich bill increase. I'm sure they will be too, but we can at least pass that on to them at the work session if this group agrees. Not that we're pro or con, but we're just surprised by it. We haven't looked into it yet.
Yeah, Washougal's a good club, too. Maybe we can add in Washougal. That one double.
I think it's relevant.
Oh, yeah, you're right, actually.
It's easy to get dwarfed by
$11,000,
but that one did go from $2,600 to $5,600, so not quite double. But
I think the spectrum is interesting. I mean, it's kind of, you would think they'd be closer, but you know, like traffic impact fees. So you think if these were all, if we looked at these traffic impact fees, they'd be closer.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
The Evergreen multifamily one's a little concerning too. So we're talking about affordable housing.
Cool.
That's a significant impact, and we need more multifamily. Right now, there's this huge apartment shortage. People can't find places. They get evicted. When you're charging $7,000 per unit. That means that it's going to be significantly less new apartments built, and it's going to affect affordable housing. So there's this balancing. So I would say there's three pieces that are really concerning. One is the
Evergreen
multifamily,
all of Ridgefield,
and Washougal. To a certain extent, Camas has the same multifamily. Camas doesn't have a lot of multifamily, so it's not as significant as that. But
it starts at all.
Yeah.
60, well, they actually want more multifamily in Camas. So
they want more, but that's not going to promote it. So you almost got that one in, but the center's the same way. Their multifamily went up higher than their single family. So there's just a few things on here that really are anomalies.
Well, I'd make a motion to at least pass on the planning commission, since they're seeing it tonight, our concerns over the, you know, the anomalies, as you call it, the increases on the multifamily of Evergreen and then Ridgefield as a whole and Washougal.
Okay.
I would say that.
All right, we've got a motion and a second to, I guess, raise concerns, or is that the right word, Jeff?
Well, expressing our concerns, surprise, asking them to, you know, it's within their purview, and ours is actually within their, you know, they're required to. I mean, they should be looking in and digging, not rubber stamping us, but looking in and digging into the capital facilities plan and questioning some of the numbers and the assumptions. I recall, you know, some very long nights on some of these issues.
I think I would use the term surprising concern.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Surprising concern.
Just want to make sure we
surprising answer. There you go.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second to bring this concern and surprise forward to the Planning Commission. Any more discussion of that? All right, let's go ahead and vote then. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Abstentions? Okay, it's unanimous. Did you get a good enough sense of that, Rosie?
Council has surprised the increase multifamily,
multifamily
in some school district.
Yeah, it was particularly Evergreen's multifamily. Was, I think, all the
Ridgefield and
Washougal.
Who do you pass that on to, Rosie?
Jose, you got it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Officer. And I just had off topic here, but just on the comp plan. Is there anything else that in the comp plan I'm going for that would be new that would be in? Talk about the environmental health, but like air quality, greenhouse gas issues, are there any things that we're looking to address as part of this comp plan?
No, I know that, I'm glad that you bring that up. I know that there was an attempt to add climate change and green has effect on social, on the transportation part of the statute. I don't know when, whether that passed or not. So I think there is directive to commerce to come up with a mechanism that to do that
statewide. Gotcha. But not something the counties initiated.
Yeah, not so, because we are relying on commerce to come up with that and seeing what will come out of that, but not this program. Yeah, some minor issues that the county is dealing with, but whether that would be sufficient to say that here's what we are doing in terms of supporting other modes of transportation, whether that reduces greenhouse effect or not. But there's something
that I think that's something that needs to be addressed. I'm just thinking about, you know, industry in particular.
Yes.
There's nothing on the horizon.
No.
Okay.
Okay, I guess we're on the last agenda item. Any public comment? Any further the comment? Okay, great. Let's adjourn. We'll see you guys next month.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll catch up once I get a confirmation. So.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. I don't think you can. Leslie, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I know.
Thank you so much. Jose, thank you.
Yeah, I don't need to worry about.
So you're taking care of that. That's good.
Just got the number to do it.
How you get calculate that number? Did you calculate or you hire the consultant to do that for you?
The school district does it.
Okay.
They have the formula that they use.